coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is the Hagman Report for today. It is Tuesday, February 16th, 2021, day number 28 of America Held Hostage. I want to welcome everyone to today's program. I got to tell you, they're not even trying to hide it anymore. The globalist party, the anti-populist party, the anti-America First party, they're just really in our faces, aren't they? Saying that they hold all the power and basically saying, what are you going to do about it? That's where we are today. A lot of headlines that are just making, just backing that whole sentiment up. Now, obviously, we can see the weakness by Biden in the China relationship, the Chinese Communist Party relationship. That's been brewing, of course, for a number of years, even the better part of a decade. But top conservative lawmakers recently have launched into Biden and exposing his ties to the Chinese Communist Party, and it's getting interesting. I noticed as well Kamala Harris making some phone calls to leaders of Canada and France, something a commander in chief would do, as opposed to the vice president, which is really interesting. I don't think there's any real precedent there. So that causes me to ask a question: what's going on with this? What's going on here? The president for President's Day, President Donald Trump, was warmly greeted in Palm Beach yesterday. I don't know how many people saw that. That was just a wonderful greeting. Meanwhile, Biden is behind the chain link or the 10 foot wall and razor wire. You know, it's just it's crazy, and how the lawmakers are as well. Interesting, some interesting notes as well. The just looking over a couple of headlines, I've got a great show lined up for you as well. L.A. Marzulli is going to be joining me in the first hour, followed by Stan Deo in hour number two. The have you noticed this? The rolling blackouts because of the weather in Texas. The green energy epic failure of this green energy platform is being shown. Texas has deployed National Guard as outage leaves millions freezing in darkness. Yes. One thing that I want to draw your attention to before I get to L.A. Marzulli. This, we told you this was coming. I'm telling you, it's here now. A woman received a late night police visit for posting on Facebook anti-mask posts. Now, if you know what communism is, well, there's Exhibit A for communism. Florida woman, Florida hair and makeup artist and mother of three, Angelique Contreras, received an intimidating late night knock at the door from a law enforcement officer in Palm Beach County after she published anti-mask posts on Facebook. This is on the National File right now. National File has obtained video footage of this disturbing 10:30 p.m. encounter. Contreras verbally confirmed with the Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office that it was a sheriff's officer who made the house call. Now, according to the woman who made the postings, Palm Beach County is trying to send citizens who can't wear masks due to medical exemptions into parking garage basement, into a parking garage basement while county commission meetings take place. Local press reporting confirms that mask-exempt citizens who want to speak at meetings will be sent to a separate building beneath the parking garage. So okay, you're medically exempt from wearing a mask. You're still not allowed in the meeting. You've got to go underground to this separate area. And of course, that's what the to-do was about. That's what the issue was about. And I, for one, as you know, I'm tired of this. And I think we, if everyone got together and took our masks off, if you study the science, now again, the science to this, the masks are not adequate protection. You want to wear a biohazard suit, you know, fully with the boots and the, my goodness, I had to wear one, even in, blood spatter analysis training. Okay. With the face shield because of blood spattering everywhere. But if you want to wear one of those, fine. That's a different story. But a mask, a cloth mask, especially as if that is going to help, it's more virtue signaling. But this is coming, and this is really the start of the criminalization of speech. We're already seeing that, the criminalization of speech everywhere in this country. I'm telling you, it's coming. And if this can happen in Florida, in Palm Beach County, I get it. But if this can happen in Florida, it can happen in Pennsylvania, certainly New York, California, and other states as well. Watch for the criminalization of speech and making it a criminal offense to dissuade or attempt to dissuade others from mask wearing. And that's coming. Also watch HR1, HR127 as well in terms of, legislation that's, they're looking to pass. So at any rate, if you want to find this particular article of interest, it's at nationalfile.com. HagmanReport.com. That's HagmanReport.com. Folks, bookmark that website. Please do me a favor as well. Sign up, subscribe to Rumble. Follow us on Rumble. Just hit the subscribe button. If you have to fill out a form to do so, yeah, do that. If they ask for your birthday, you're not comfortable giving it out. As long as you're over 18, it's fine. But definitely subscribe to us on Rumble. We walked away from a quarter of a million subscribers on YouTube because we're not going to feed the beast, feed the greed, as Randy Taylor says. We're not going to do that. No. We're going to go with independent platforms. Rumble, of course, is the choice, as well as Brighteon. We're on Brighteon as well. So Rumble, Brighteon, and then, of course, we have backup in our own server situation. HagmanStore.com. That's HagmanStore.com for some great coffee, delicious coffee. In the mood for a cup of coffee? I'll tell you what. We've got the best hyper-caffeinated detective's choice. And it comes in all of the types. You've got the whole bean. You've got the ground. And then, of course, K-cups. We have hyper-caffeinated detective's choice. That's for long interrogations, especially if you have teenagers. Or if you have a daughter and, you know, or boyfriend, prom date, whatever. You need to talk to them. Have a cup first. That'll take care of things. And then, of course, we have Patriot and Revolution blends, appropriately named, of course. So there we are. And you can join me in AARP, which is the Angry and Armed Ready and Ready Patriot group. That, of course, I'm kidding about, but I'm really all three. I'm a patriot, I'm angry, and I'm armed.
It's very accurate.
Yeah, very much so. Eric the Tech... if you could have heard him this morning, earlier as well today, talking about my attitude. Apparently, I have a bad. Do I have a bad attitude?
Yeah, I had to sit you down.
He's going to spank me. Eric the Tech, always a crowd pleaser as well. All right, do we have our guest? All right, this is a gentleman that really, folks, needs really no introduction, so I'm not going to give him one. How's that? Coming live from his new studio, newly rebuilt studio, of course, new to me. Okay. He had a terrible loss of fire, some time back. And of course, rebuilt stronger and better. And here he is, L.A. Marzulli. L.A., how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it. Great to be here.
Thanks for being on. It's good to see you, man.
It's likewise.
So what you been doing? It's been a while. I mean, nothing's really happened since I last saw you, about a year ago in person or a year and a half ago. nothing's really been happening. So I'm not sure what we're going to talk about today. Rumor has it, you've got a new book out. You've got all sorts of things going on. Let's talk.
Yeah, you know, we can, but before we get into, you know, the stuff, I listened to your monologue and, you know, our country was literally stolen from us on election night. And what amazes me is there's real evidence of fraud, real evidence. All we need to do is look at Maricopa County, and we know that they're stonewalling. Well, if there's nothing to see, then why are they stonewalling? If there's nothing to see here, if it's all just smoke and mirrors, then why the heck are these people stonewalling and won't allow a recount? We know that the recount in New Hampshire showed that 300 ballots were switched from every single Republican candidate. That's a matter of, you know, what is the truth? That's a fact. That's not hearsay. And I watched Lindell's, you know, Mike Lindell's program, and it was, for me, as a director of films, it really needed the director to go, Mike, stop fooling with the pen. Mike, ask the question. Mike, just stop fidgeting. Mike, let's do this again. Cut, take two. Cut, take five until you get it right. And then he never asked the tough questions. Where are you getting this information from? So, you know, Mary Fanning comes on with this wonderful graph of China looking like they're hacking into the election. Well, where did she get that from? What does it mean? How do we interpret the graph? And what's the source of the graph? And the other thing that drives me absolutely bonkers, where are the Republicans? Why aren't they, you know, going absolutely to the nines on this thing? Why are they laying down? And we all know now that Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham, they're just rhinos. I mean, that's what they are. I mean, for McConnell to get up after the impeachment, the bogus impeachment hearing, and start, you know, lecturing us about Donald Trump and blah, 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 and he's the one that incited the violence. Excuse me, what about the Antifa goons that were bust in? And there's video of that. I'm not making this stuff up. So it's just the whole system is so broken, so egregiously so, that it's just mind-numbing. And here we are in this land of let's pretend, because that's what it is. We've got a guy with dementia hiding who knows where, some White House bunker someplace. I don't know where he is. He won't answer questions. His press secretary is for all practical purposes, you know, you might as well. In fact, I won't even say it because I know if I say it, I'll get into trouble. But the bottom line is, why can't she ask the tough questions? And then we got the media, you know, that for 4 years, Trump, and Orange Man bad and everything else. Now they got no one to pin the tail on the donkey with. So what are they going to do now? And they're not asking tough questions. The bottom line for me, there are 80 million of us who were disenfranchised. And people were going, yeah, Trump's coming back in 2024. Yay! You know, Nonsense. Those same goofy machines will be in place in every single swing state and will have exactly the same result. And this is what drives me as a patriot absolutely nuts. And, you know, I got to be careful what I say because I don't want to get anybody in trouble or banned. But the American people need to rise up peacefully, contact their representatives, a lot of good that will do, but do it anyway, because the whole point of that rally was to go and talk about the fraud. And then Pence, who in my opinion is the biggest traitor in American history, way worse than Benedict Arnold, all he had to do was go, okay, let's put the brakes on, let's not do anything, let's make sure that Joe Biden actually got elected, because otherwise we're going to disenfranchise 80 million people. He didn't do that. And then, of course, he got his little magic ring, you know, after all that was done. So it's like this whole thing is a house of cards.
I totally agree with you. We cannot move past November 3rd. I'm going to tell you right now, November 3rd, we still have to stay on November 3rd. We have to get answers to the fraud that took place. Because there's not going to be a 2024. There won't be 2022 even. Okay, we have to have answers to the fraud that took place, and you're absolutely right. Maricopa County, what the hell are you hiding? There was a legislative subpoena delivered on the county supervisors, and they defied the subpoena. to the extent where the state legislatures are saying, hey, let's get the Sergeant of Arms to execute that subpoena and to capture the machines. And it hasn't happened. It's a farce. And that's why I start out by saying, you know, they're in our faces. They're saying, we've got the power. What are you going to do about it? So in short, and I'm going to shut up then and let you talk, but I believe at this point, given the cards that we've been dealt, I don't think there's any dialogue that's going to get us out of this. I'm not advocating violence, but I don't see any way out except a violent revolution against those people who are oppressing the people like us who have been disenfranchised and who have been silenced by these social media and the media, big tech corporations. So what's left? You've gone through the ballot box, the soap box. Next box is what? The ammo box. That's my opinion or assessment.
That would be, I mean, look, I'm a student of a Civil War. I mean, not like a guy that spends hours and hours and hours, but I know enough about it to know that it was absolutely horrific. The last thing we want to start doing is shooting each other. I think there's a couple of options we do have, and Texas is leading the way. Texas has already run up the flagpole. Well, let's just see what happens with the good people of Texas. Let's put it on a ballot and see if people in Texas would actually vote to secede from the union. The good people of Texas are not going to lay down and watch open borders and thousands of illegal immigrants come in and completely disrupt everything. And of course, if you say that now, you're a xenophobe and you're a racist, blah, 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 blah. Identity politics. You know, you are a racist because how dare you want to defend your border? And I always say this tongue in cheek. Why don't we get four buses, right? Maybe 10 buses. The more the merrier, right? We'll have a caravan of buses, pack them with patriots, and we'll go across the border, and we'll just wind up at the Mexican consulate someplace and go, hey, we're here. We really like Mexico. And can we have free health care? Can we send our kids to school? Somebody needs to go to the emergency ward. Are you kidding me? We'd be arrested and deported. You know, set your stopwatch here. I mean, that's exactly what would happen. So the alternative to a revolution, because we saw what Antifa did over the summer, yeah. and of course, you know, that got a pass. The media didn't do mostly peaceful demonstrations. And the media is in the tank completely. They're all bought and sold for, in my opinion. And I remember Bill Riley saying this before I get back to Texas. Name me one conservative anchor, just one conservative anchor at ABC, NBC, or CBS, just one. Name me one conservative talk guy, talk hosts on NPR, National Public Radio. Just one. Just give me one. They're not there. They don't exist. Gee, why? So if you listen to NPR every day, you know, Trump is Hitler. I mean, they've actually compared him to that. So Texas is already running us up the flagpole. Like, you know, we'll secede from the union. So there's a bunch of other states that are pushing back already. Look at Kristi Noem, governor of South Dakota.
Love her.
She's already pushing back. She's not going to take any nonsense. So, you know, you could have Texas lead the way, followed by northern Texas, which, of course, is Oklahoma. And then, you know, just start going around. Just look at the Midwest and into the South. And perhaps states like New Mexico, Arizona, they also could follow. So, you know, you'd have the two. You'd have the right coast, the left coast. People have had it. People have absolutely had it. This government is totally broken in every way, shape, or form. To think that someone like Nancy Pelosi can stand up and ramrod through yet another bogus impeachment. And I'll never forget watching the first bogus impeachment where their star witness conveniently left out of his 15-minute diatribe testimony the fact that he was actually heard the call from Donald Trump. Of course, this was cross-examination brilliantly done by Jim Jordan, who basically said, oh, you left out one of the most important parts in your testimony, sir. And that was this, that Trump actually stated, I want nothing, no quid pro quo. Right. So here's the whole star chamber, and this is how broken everything is. And yet, you know, you repeat the lie often enough, and the American people, some believe that, oh, there was collusion and all this stuff. Well, The real collusion was with Biden and his son and Ukraine. And all that gets a pass. This system is so broken and so corrupt. Can you imagine if they can do it, if Twitter can censor the president of the United States and not, you know, not allow him ever. It's a life ban, right? Can you imagine to you and me?
Oh, of course.
I mean, they're just getting started. They're just getting started.
And that's you said a lot there. Okay, the FBI, for example, they should be investigating, among other things, the Hunter Biden laptop, because that has, aside from the porn and the drug use and the alleged pedophilia, and I've seen the hard drive.
Have you really?
Yeah, I've seen the image of the hard drive. In fact, I've got a copy of the image. What's the best way? Well, I've seen it. And surprisingly, the pornography and the alleged pedophilia, I have to say alleged. Okay, so aside from that, that's not the worst that I saw on there. The worst I saw on there was the incestuous financial relationship between Hunter Biden, his uncle, and his father, and the various Chinese corporations and non-governmental organizations, as well as the communications with the Obama State Department at that time. Okay, so, and when you look at things today, the structure of the so-called Biden regime, the people behind the Biden regime today, it's retreads from the Obama regime. So, Obama was illegitimate in terms of his constitutional eligibility. Biden, I certainly believe he's illegitimate based on voter and election fraud. So you've got, and people say, wow, you know, 2021, thank goodness. No, 2021 is merely Groundhog Day for 2020. We started out 2020 with an impeachment, started out 2021 with an impeachment. 2020 was, oh, it's going to be bad. The coronavirus is, it's just going to be horrible. 2021, same thing. Now, not two masks, three masks. And if you can, throw some pantyhose over your head. You know, and I'm not kidding. The CDC actually said that.
It's unbelievable.
You know, so yeah, you can't make this stuff up. So it's like Groundhog Day for, you know, 20, if you like 2020, you're going to love 2021. That's my belief. But you know, you're right. And I'm angry, extremely angry. And I know everyone I talk to out there is extremely angry too.
Yeah, we all are.
And we are ready to do something, because enough of this in your face stuff. And I'm not saying, you know what, folks, I'm not advocating violence, and Ellie, you know me enough. Look, I'm not advocating. I, the last thing I want to see is blood being shed. However, we have our limits. We do have our limits. So, back to you.
The other hope chip, which is a long shot here, would be this, that the military actually does get involved. Now, we heard all sorts of, you know, nonsense and false information. I mean, I had one guy, and I won't mention any names here, that has a contact in the White House. And I know that this is true, the Trump White House. And they were saying that Trump signed the Insurrection Act. Well, if the Insurrection Act was signed, certainly we've not seen anything happen with that. But I think that certain, perhaps, and this is another hope chip that we have, is that certain segments of the military would realize what's going on and would stand up and do something. But we don't see that yet. Some of the contacts I have are saying, just wait, give it to April 1st. Well, you know, right now it's February, time's ticking down. 52, last time I saw it, maybe there's more now, 52 executive orders. It's Obama 3.0. Biden is not running things, in my opinion. I think it's Obama and Susan Rice and others are huddled someplace in a bunker near the White House, doing all this. Meanwhile, you've got troops and barbed wire and all this nonsense going on. I mean, this is America with a K. I am alarmed at what I see. I am alarmed at what I see. And I'm in some ways, I don't want to use the word terrified, but certainly we can all look at what's happening on social media with deplatforming anyone with conservative thinking. So here's the deal. Someone like me, let's say 5 years ago, was called a conspiracy theorist because I promulgated and believed and wrote books about and created films about the reality of the UFO phenomenon. So last week, actually over the weekend and Friday and everything else, all sorts of new information. Oh, the Pentagon is testing material from crashed UFOs. Oh, they have the material in their possession. Oh, wait, the Pentagon has vehicles not made on this earth, and on it goes. So 5 years ago, I'm labeled a conspiracy theorist because how dare I question the official narrative, move forward to 2021, whatever year this is, on the Julian calendar, right? And now it's mainstream, and you got people like Sarah Carter weighing in on it. You know, I've been doing this for all my life and basically professionally for the last 30 years, warning the church, warning people about the coming great deception. I mean, this thing is coming like a freight train with no conductor. It's definitely coming, and it's already here, and it's rolling out. So the bottom line is I use that analogy to say this, that any of us that dare challenge the election results, we're conspiracy theorists. That's immediately, you stand up and you say, well, gee, I think 9/11 might have been an inside job. You know, what happened to Building 7? Oh, conspiracy theorist. Bam, immediately conspiracy theorist. Well, gee, what about Building 7? Oh, you're a conspiracy theorist. How dare you? How dare you question the official narrative? And so this is the country we live in where there is no free speech anymore. There's only the speech that you're allowed to say. We'll tell you what to think. And this is all in lockstep with globalism and the New World Order. And by the way, the vaccine and the COVID brouhaha with the masks, there's no efficacy. Where's the science? There is none.
Absolutely.
Where's the science with social distancing? There is none. Why is it that hydroxychloroquine was completely, oh, it's a boogeyman? Why? Because Donald Trump talked about it. And I know that doctors who actually hand-delivered that letter to him way back in March or whenever they did it, talking about the efficacy of hydroxychloroquine. Now, the American Medical Association, like, what was it, 2 or 3 weeks ago, they came out and said, you know, maybe we were a little hasty. You know, we're really sorry, but now we realize that hydroxychloroquine, which has been around for 70 years, might have been given in the early stages of COVID, and it may have eradicated. It may have saved thousands of lives. You know what? These people have blood on their hands. They have blood on their hands because instead of putting people on respirators, which will definitely kill them, what they could have given would have been hydroxychloroquine and another drug. I can never pronounce it. Anyway, the other one with an I.
Now, I knew it.
Yeah, right. I know.
Vectorin or what the heck? I knew it. Anyway, I say it every day.
Ivermectin.
You said. Yeah, so ivermectin.
When my wife, Peggy, came down with COVID, all right, I've got a pregnant daughter living with us with her husband. And me. Well, the three of us never got it. So how does that work? We weren't wearing masks. I slept with Peggy every night and I never got COVID. How does that work? But she got it. And we have a doctor that prescribed for her, hydroxychloroquine. Peggy was on hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. I was just on the hydroxychloroquine as a prophylaxis.
Right.
I saw this whole thing turn around in 3 days. 3 days. That's what it was. 3 days. Boom. Done. And, you know, we stayed on it. We quarantined. We did everything we were supposed to do, but nobody else in the house got it. And Peggy survived very, very handsomely. So look, I get it. I know people that have died from this. I'm not making light of it, but why is it that now the American Medical Association backpedals and tells us that hydroxychloroquine could have been used? Why is it that Dr. Fauci, who I finally call Dr. Fiasco, because he created the fiasco that we find ourselves in, and where is the science behind anything that he's actually stated? And that's why you've got frontline medical doctors and others who rail against his ridiculous, you know, statements that he makes and flip-flops. So Fauci shut down the economy. Where's the science behind that? There is none. And now we know that countries that didn't shut down or places like South Dakota actually fared better because you get herd immunity. So this whole thing is one big manipulative, in my opinion, construct And, you know, Time Magazine had their little article, you know, that they all got together to make sure Donald J. Trump was not reelected. But excuse me, he was reelected. And
yes.
They stole it. They stole it.
Are you talking the Time Magazine article, which you referenced, and I'm glad you referenced that. I believe that you're talking about the article written by Molly Ball, who it was almost – from an investigative viewpoint, reading that article, I think it was like 6,000 words, to me read like a confession. You could use that as an exhibit in the courtroom because it named names. It had it gave away their strategy and tactics. This is how we did it. How we won the election and a lot of, run up to the election, you know, making sure that the people were in place and things were in place. Is that what you're referring to, by the way?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Because they outline what they did. You know, we've got generals like General McInerney. I was I'm sure you were there too on a Skype call, with General McInerney talking about Dominion software. You know, Trump stated it. And why is it that all five, nothing to see here. Keep moving. This is all conspiracy theory. Shut up and obey, right? So why is it that every single swing state, Trump is ahead by hundreds of thousands of votes in some states. They all shut down at exactly the same time. Exactly the same time. And the Republicans don't do anything. And then surprise, surprise, surprise. You know, Gateway Pundit shows the white van. They're unloading the ballots. We see in Georgia, right? Georgia. They get all the Republicans out of there, and then they take the ballot boxes out, and they're running them through two or three times. I mean, and no one does anything? I mean, nobody does anything? This is what makes me angry. I mean, this whole thing, and I said it on my show, we got to stop. We just got to put the brakes on and say, you know what? We're not doing dooley squat till we get to the bottom of this. And, you know, what we really need, and this is why, what was his name? Lech Walesa, right, in Poland. This goes back probably 30 years ago. Solidarity.
Oh, yeah.
And how did they topple the Soviet Union?
They stopped. I mean, they just stopped everything.
They stopped,
yes.
This is the answer. This is the flipping answer.
Yep.
We just frickin' stop.
Stop paying taxes, stop working, stop everything.
Stop everything.
Yep.
Just stop everything. And when you get 80 million people stopping what they're doing, okay? And you know, I haven't heard anybody say this yet, and it just hit me in talking to you. And I know you got a great listenership. But that's what needs to happen. We need to get a movement. Just stop it. You know, and we're not going forward. We're not doing anything else until we get to the bottom of this. Maricopa County's got to cough up. Why is it that Georgia, right? All of a sudden, you know, they meet with, Jovan, Pulitzer, and Pulitzer outlines he can look at the ballots and tell you exactly what's going on. Why is it the FBI comes down, reconfiscates the ballots and sends them back to the shredder? And the American people don't say anything of that? We need to stop. You know, they talk about Brexit. We need to just stop. No taxes, no working, no nothing. And maybe we just stand in front of our mailbox in our front yard and just wave for the cameras.
You
know what? If you got millions of people doing that, that sends a message.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you mentioned Poland and Lech Walesa, because the Solidarity Movement back, I think this is like 80, early 80s. It could have been 80.
It changed everything.
It did. Because if we don't take care of this right now, and I so agree with you on this, if we don't take care of this right now, and I've been saying this all week and actually all month, we cannot forget, we cannot get past November 3rd. You know, November, people talk about an insurrection at the Capitol. The insurrection took place on November 3rd, and it wasn't us.
No, it wasn't.
It was deliberate.
It was deliberate. It was calculated. It was reasoned all the way through.
Yep.
There were multiple players and multiple, and they've got videos of this stuff. So, you know, and look, I know millions of people are angry. I'm just one guy. I have a small platform, but I honestly think that if it becomes a movement, if the idea that we're just going to stop, just like Lech Walesa did, in Poland. We're just going to stop. We're not going to work. We're not going to do anything. We're going to stop buying things. We're going to turn off the goofy television set. We're going to stop. We've had it up to here, you know, with big tech and everything else and identity politics, and we're called racist and homophobes, and we have to apologize for being white. Hey, I'm Italian. Is that a white guy? Because my grandparents came over in 1898. I mean, is that white privilege because they worked really hard when they were called all sorts of nasty names and made fun with? I mean, you know, we don't do that anymore, but that's what I grew up with. You know, I was called all sorts of racial epithets, and I succeeded. So, you know, what are we looking at here, folks? Are we going to sit back and not do anything, or are we going to stand up and say, we've had it up to here, we're not condoning any type of violence in any way, but we're just going to stop. We're just going to stop working. We're not going to shove. You can go ahead and fire us. We really don't care. But it's got to be millions of people. It just can't be a handful. It's right. Got to be millions and millions of people. And then we'll get our country back.
Yeah, it's like the TSA. If one person puts up a fuss, they're going to get arrested. A couple, you know, the press might be called, but they're still going to get arrested. But if everyone just said, no, I'm not going to get, X-rayed or whatever, or I'm not going to go through this security theater, or, you know, do something meaningful, then things will change. So I like your idea, and I think we all have to stop. I think we have to take a lesson out of Poland's history book and do what works. I really believe that. I have two questions for you though that, I'm anxious to ask you since we're on these topics. Why do you think that they're calling for, the fencing and the razor wire and the troops around the Capitol, this Capitol Green Zone, which the militarization of Washington DC to me is sinful. When I look out, I look at pictures of the last time I was in Washington DC, walking through the Hall of Statues, next to a senator. Actually, to my left was the senator, and to my right was, Jim Jordan. Freely, okay. Why do you think that they're calling for this to be kept through, if not the next few months, but through the rest of the year? What's up with that?
I think that they know. I mean, they're not stupid, okay? And this is why I never really bought in, with all due respect to those of your listeners who did buy in. And I interviewed people on both sides of the aisle. I interviewed Kevin Shipp about Q. I interviewed other folks that believed in all the Q posts. Okay. So my deal was, well, why would this information be leaked out if it was so secretive? You know, you're telegraphing every move that you're going to make. We never got 10 days of darkness. The Insurrection Act never happened. I mean, nothing ever happened. Okay. So what I do believe is this, that they know that, when I mean they, the powers that are in control now, they know that there's possibility that certain segments of the military might, and I'm not talking a coup, but if, and this is why they're terrified. If one state, just one state, goes, okay, we have evidence, massive evidence of fraud, and the election, here are the ballots, and let's just say it's Arizona, and Donald Trump won Arizona. Well, that changes the outcome of the election, and they have to put the brakes on everything at that point. And that's when the military would come in. So I think they may be positioning themselves for something like that. That's pure conjecture on my part. I think they're terrified, and that's why they've got, you know, the military that's there. I mean, that's one scenario, but, you know, okay. At this point.
So you're saying you don't think, and by the way, I agree with you on this Q posting, you know, trust the plan. Well, the plan really sucks. Okay.
Yeah, the plan totally sucks.
Okay. So.
And nothing.
Right. Because we're here right now unnecessarily. And, I'm surprised too. And I just want to mention this because I do say this quite frequently. You know, if my job on the 3rd of November was to be a poll watcher and somebody told me to stand like 25 yards away or 25 feet away or even 7-8 feet away, all right, we'd have a go. I mean, there'd be an incident, believe me. I just don't understand why, we're such milquetoast kind of people. Well, okay, you know, I'm not allowed to stand there. And what the hell's up with the cops coming and dragging those who demand oversight? You know, that's their job. And the police following illegal orders, just as we saw, too, in Michigan, the police not allowing the alternative set of electors into the Michigan courthouse. There's just so much of this. But so you're saying, if I'm hearing this correctly, this may not be over quite yet. And don't forget, we have, what, three cases before the Supreme Court on the 19th, I believe, Sidney Powell and even Lynn Wood. So, I mean, whatever you think of those people, there you go. You know, I mean, that's so it might not be over yet.
And I concur. I don't think it is over. I'm hoping that when Powell and Wood, I mean, these are brilliant people. I mean, I was on I'm not boasting here, but I was on a call with Lynn Wood, a group call, a bunch of us. And he's very, you know, I really appreciate his convictions, especially he loves Jesus as we do.
Yes.
And I understand that. But, you know, why would he sully his reputation and go out on a limb? And the other thing is, why would Sidney Powell do the same thing? Let me run something by you here. And this is something I came up with and I talked about it on my show. And, you know, it didn't get a lot of traction. Maybe it'll get some traction here.
All right.
There is a very interesting wild card. And I had some information that came to me from an inside source. And I, you know, can't really reveal the name, but inside source. So you've got Jeffrey Epstein and Linwood goes, Jeffrey Epstein is alive. Well, I don't believe Jeffrey Epstein is alive. Yeah, I think he was murdered. I think that the powers that be, murdered him. It was the whole set of circumstances surrounding moving of his cellmate. The guards aren't there. The cameras are broken. They don't check on him. It's just, you know, just.
I agree with you, by the way. Yeah. But yes, I believe he's dead because dead men tell no tales. But go ahead.
So, but Jeffrey Epstein is alive. And I'll pause for a moment.
Okay. And do tell.
He is alive in the person of Ghislaine Maxwell. Ghislaine Maxwell knows exactly where all the bodies are buried.
Absolutely.
She's got the hard drives. She's got all the films. She's got everything. It's hidden away, but she's got it.
Okay.
And from what I've heard, and again, from a reliable source, that she's being treated much differently than a normal inmate would be treated. I'll just leave it at that. I know more, but I can't say it on the air. So in my opinion, this might be the Trump card that we've all been waiting for. Because, yeah, John Roberts, why would Lynn Wood call out John Roberts and accuse him of the most vile and heinous acts? Why would he do that? Now, granted, he's a defamation lawyer, but you're going up against the head of the Supreme Court. Hello. I mean, you know, why would you do this? I mean, are you really a conspiracy theorist? Are you some kind of a nut job? Or do you know something that's going on? Why would he call for Chief Justice Roberts to immediately step down? And this is the stuff of conspiracy theorists. I'm not saying I believe that. All right. But there is, and I reported on this months ago, there is a John Roberts on the flight manifest to Epstein Island.
Yes.
But we all know how that works. You know, I mean, there are thousands and thousands of John Roberts in the United States. So which John Roberts is it? We don't know. The fact that Wood says that, and this is where Ghislaine Maxwell comes in. If she begins to, because they have the videos, you know that.
Yes.
Right. They've got the video.
Yes.
If they start releasing that stuff, all bets are off. All bets are off. And I just wait and wonder. That's when Linwood says Epstein is alive, I think what he's saying is in the person of Ghislaine Maxwell. So that's something that's important. Yeah.
I never really thought of it that way. And I'm ashamed to say that because as an investigator, I suppose, and Linwood being an attorney, I suppose I could read between the lines, but that's a very interesting, interesting concept. And I do believe you're right. I do know that there exists evidence. Evidence is around. So I can authenticate or verify that, not that you need any kind of authentication on your information, but, certainly I can verify that. So, very interesting indeed. L.A. Marzulli, of course, is my guest. It's been such a long time. Folks, you know him, LAMarzulli.net. Follow him, support his work. He's doing a great job. L.A., I didn't mean to take so much of your time talking about,
I just want to say he's got a lot of material.
Who does?
L.A., more than I thought.
Oh.
DVDs, books.
Oh, yes. It's Eric the Tech, by the way, L.A., in case you, it's been a while.
No, I got that. And you know what? Sometimes it's more important to talk about, I mean, look, there's my work and the new book. We never touched on any of it. I really don't, I mean, I care about that, obviously, and we're doing okay. People support us and they buy the stuff. There it is. But I think it's more important for the soul of our country and what's at stake here. Because if we continue down this road to socialism, which is just another word for communism, and we begin to lose our rights, and they will come after the guns. There's no doubt about that. They're already talking about it. And if you can censor Donald Trump for life and ban him from social media platforms, none of us are safe. Anybody with a differing opinion, this is why I spent the entire hour talking about it, because this trumps, no pun intended, everything. It trumps my work. This is what we need to do. And, you know, and I think the Just Stop movement, whatever we're going to call it, I think maybe it's birthed today on your show, and maybe some heavy hitters will get behind this and start talking about it, because the American people need to strike. We need to go on strike. We're not doing this. We're not working. We're not showing up. We're on strike. And, you know, do you realize the backlash on this? Well, you're not coming to work. You're fired. Okay, fire me. But you know what? You're going to get fired anyway, because unless we turn it around, you know, they will come for you. Trust me. At some point they, oh, LA, that's fear. No, it's not. It's already happening.
You know, and I so appreciate you coming with a solution, because I've talked on this show, you know, it's all politics are local. So we have to fight on a local level. And I agree with that. To some extent, we have to form militias constitutionally. Well, okay, it's a little late for that. There are many people that come with ideas. We talk about different ideas, but with you mentioning the solidarity movement in Poland, you know, again, like Waleza started that. It worked. That's a very interesting point. And I hope people really appreciate the brilliance of that simplistic tactic and logistical operation. Again, L.A. Marzulli, right on the money with that. And folks, L.A.'s work, if you go to LAMarzulli.net, I would say whatever you see that interests you, buy and support his work, because and I got to tell you, a lot of what you do, a lot of your work product, and this is the same with like Steve Quayle and others, but yours, it undergirds where we are today. There's nothing new under the sun. I guess can be applied here, but there's your work kind of what was once is now again. You know, we're seeing this rise back up of things. And, I so appreciate all of your work. I've got your DVDs and folks, they're well worth watching. Any one of them and all of them are well worth watching, buying, and, really putting in your library. So I do appreciate that. What's your new book called?
It's called Countermove, How the Nephilim Returned After the Flood. And we've had a lot of really good positive feedback to it. Mark Kahn, Mondo Gonzalez, Sonda Allison, Ken Johnson, to give you an idea. Some of these people weighed in, and Mondo wrote about 5,000 words in the book. It was probably the toughest book I've ever written. It took over 2 years to get this out. The warfare was unbelievable. And I just want to thank, you know, my good friend Mark Kahn and of course, Mondo Gonzalez on Sonda Allison and others who contributed to it. But it's Bill Salas calls it needs to be shared. And Mark Kahn required reading, positive illumination. by author James Reardon. So, the Lord, put it on my heart. The Lord gave me something. I'm not that smart. And that became the nexus for the book. But it was really interesting the way all that came down. And I talk about that in the book, the way the book came about and how the Lord revealed, what I believe has been hidden, but in plain sight for thousands of years. You know, people have read this and overlooked it. And not because I'm so smart, but because just like the book of Daniel, seal up the book until the time of the end. And I think we're at the time of the end where some of these things are being revealed. And I'm just honored that the Lord revealed it through me.
I love it. The most intelligent people I speak with, the handful that I do speak with, always say that, you know, it was revealed to me, or I'm not sure, you know, I could not have done this, or I could not have seen this on my own. You know, it's from God. And thank you for saying that, because, I love it. Counter Move is the name of the book, folks. Definitely get that. All right. We've got about, oh, I don't know. We've got about, 8-9 minutes left. So it's pretty good, yet. The second question. Okay. There was another question in there that I wanted to ask you, and I had forgotten about it. It was about current events. It escapes me. So anywhere you want to go in the remaining time we have.
Well, you know, let's just circle back to the whole UFO phenomenon.
Yeah, there we go.
I used to have a, before the fire, I had a tinfoil hat that I bought on the internet, and sometimes I would wear it on my own show, sort of tongue in cheek, but I enjoyed doing it because it's, I wear my tinfoil hat proudly. Well, in 2017, everything changed with Commander David Fravor on the Tucker Carlson show. Now, Tucker Carlson, his audience is basically conservative Christian people. I mean, that's the bulk, that's the mainstay, the bulwark of his audience, conservative Christians, of which both of us, you know, are in that category. And so why are they running it up the flagpole at Tucker Carlson? Why is it in 2017, in December, they have Commander David Fravor, former F-18 pilot, on Tucker Carlson's show, who states unequivocally, when Tucker Carlson asked him, in your opinion, what was this tic-tac-shaped UFO that you saw? And he looks right at the camera and goes, whatever this was not made on this earth. Now, you know, I figured that my phone would be ringing off the hook the next day, flatlined. No phone calls. I had one email from a pastor. LA, did you see this? Oh, my gosh, you know, it's disclosure. Well, since then, we've had a series of disclosure. And it happens like every, you know, 3 to 6 or 7 weeks. It's usually on Tucker Carlson. And we are on the 7th rung of the disclosure ladder. That's where we are. The first rung is Commander David Fravor on Tucker Carlson. UFOs are real. This is not, whatever this was not made on this earth. Rung number 2 on the ladder is Luis Elizondo on Tucker Carlson stating that the United States government has in their possession metal from crashed UFOs. Rung number 3, Christopher Mellon, former CIA guy, is on Tucker Carlson. It's always Tucker, right? Always Tucker, saying that we've tested the metal and there are isotopes found in the metal which are not on Earth. They're not made on Earth. These isotopes come from somewhere else. Rung number 4, the Pentagon states on the record that unidentified aerial phenomenon is real. They call it UAP instead of UFO. UFO's got a very nasty connotation to it because, you know, you're a nutcase if you believe in UFOs. But you're perfectly fine and sane if you believe in UAPs, which, of course, is exactly the same thing, unidentified aerial phenomena. So there you go. And then from there, it just goes up the ladder. So the Pentagon then says, or our government states, and this is rung number 5 on a disclosure ladder, that we have in our possession vehicles not made on this earth. I'm not making this up. I mean, what do you do with that? And see, what's going to happen, we're on rung number 7. So 6 is Commander David Fravor back on Tucker Carlson stating that when he got near the tic-tac-shaped UFO, it jammed his radar. That's an act of war. 7 is what just happened over the weekend where, you know, we've tested the metal and it's going to change our lives forever. I've been banging this drum for 30 years, okay?
Yes, you have.
I've been called every name in the book. Now it's here, and the church still dithers and is still asleep. Unbelievable.
Do you think, how is this disclosure going to fit into the current push for global, or, you know, this big reset, global reset? Will it be a factor that will cause or facilitate a global reset?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. That's okay.
Absolutely. And this is why we need to strike, because, you know, these yahoos are talking about the global reset. You know, we saw a video over the weekend, Bank America. I mean, you want to talk about draconian. You want to talk about living in the former Soviet Union. We are here, folks.
Yep.
We are here. And unless we stand up, and we need to strike. I'm sure, you know, this is the first time I've come up, not me. I think it's the Lord reminding me about, you know, Leah Walesa, that whole deal. But the bottom line is, I'm sure I'm going to get a knock on my door tonight at 10 o'clock, you know, by a couple of guys. And maybe you will, too.
I mean, join the club. Well, yeah, I mean, I got to tell you, L.A., I haven't talked to you in a while, but we were part of we sent people to Washington, D.C. When I say sent, we facilitated in their trip to Washington, D.C. on the 6th of January. And believe me, I've been on the phone with my attorney. So, yes, things have happened in the background that this isn't the United States anymore. I'm telling you. It blows my mind. Just based on what you said there, with respect to disclosure. I mean, who knows? I can't even string sentences coherently together normally. And then you talk about this and it just blows my mind. It really does. 2 minutes left, LA is, or 1 minute left. His book, LA's book is Counter Move. A tremendous read, folks. Again, a Counter Move. Go to lamarzulli.net. Grab it along with his DVDs. They're on sale. Look at that sale. DVDs as well in books. But Counter Move, a very painful book to write, or I shouldn't say painful. A lot of attacks preventing you from getting it out the way you wanted to, I guess, right?
Yeah, I mean, it like I said, my editor, Sandra Allison, was amazing. But the book was just stalled. And we finally got it out and it's available and we're shipping like crazy. So
love it.
Thank you.
All right. Well, folks, there it is. Counter Move by L.A. Marzulli, lamarzulli.net. L.A., we're out of time. Thank you so very much for your gift of time today. I really appreciate it. Come back.
Let's do it again. You got it. Take care.
All right, folks, don't forget, subscribe to us on Rumble, and hey, we're on Roku. You can watch LA on Roku. That's really great. So lamarzulli.net, Counter Move, new book. Make sure you grab that. Watch for this disclosure stuff to be taking place in amongst all of these headlines. You're listening to the Hagmann Report, where truth can't be silenced. Going to be right back. Stay right where you're at. This is the Hagmann Report. It is February 16th, 2021, Tuesday, America Held Hostage Day number 28. You know what, folks? If you haven't done so already, do me a favor. Go to HagmannReport.com. Bookmark HagmannReport.com. Subscribe to us on Rumble. Oh, please do that. Do it today, okay? Don't do it tomorrow. Don't do it do it today. Subscribe to us on Rumble and give us a Rumble thumbs up. Positive thumbs up on Rumble as well. And you can comment in the Rumble, on Rumble in the section. And we do split up the hours as well. So it's really great. And that's HagmannReport.com. And, they're on the top banner. Click the top banner. Picture the videos. If you click through, you can subscribe to us on Rumble. As you click through, you can also, all the links are in the program description box. You also can subscribe to us on various audio platforms. We're on Roku. 3.5 million downloads in one platform last month alone. Thank you very much for that. Satellite Phone Store. Satellitephonestore.com. If you don't have a satellite phone right now, you're missing out. I'm going to tell you right now, Satellite Phone Store is the premier phone store for satellite phones. And you might think, well, I can't afford a satellite phone. Oh, yes, you can. Because what they've done is Satellite Phone Store has teamed up with Steve Quayle and myself, and we are offering, or they are offering, I should say, just a tremendous plan with many, many features. You can read about it. If you go to HagmanReport.com, click on the link, the graphic to SatellitePhoneStore.com, it'll pop right up for you. All right. And there's new stuff coming out, new things coming out, including Galileo. We talked about that last week.
That's going to be cool.
Oh, I'm telling you. You know what? I like, by the way, I like to be able to talk when everything is down. I don't necessarily like cell phones, but I do like satellite phones. I don't know why.
Less buttons.
Actually, yes. They actually have buttons. Okay, so that helps me. I remember the first time I used I can't remember. I know I was at a hospital. I think my wife's, I think my mother-in-law was in the hospital. I can't remember. Anyway, my wife handed me her cell phone, and it was one of those iPhones that just came out, you know, with no numbers on them, just the glass. And she said, here, call so-and-so. And I'm looking at this thing. I'm looking, trying to figure out where the buttons were. And then, I know something happened. I was messing with it. She kind of explained it to me, or trying to explain it to me. And somehow I actually ended up FaceTiming somebody. I can't remember who, but I couldn't figure out how to turn it off. So I ended up putting it in the trunk of my car. I remember that. Everyone was laughing at me because I didn't know what to do with it. I'm thinking, how do you turn this thing off? And I could see myself, and then I pressed something and I could see, I don't know. It freaked me out. But that's so, hey, Satellite Phone Store, you won't have that problem. Believe me, this is good stuff. You can actually press numbers on the phone too. All right. EMP Shield. You know, if you haven't done so already, folks, get an EMP Shield. The sun's doing crazy stuff. You got some really bad actors out there with the grid as a target. And you don't want your stuff to get fried. You spent all of your hard-earned money, or a lot of your hard-earned money, for computers, for things that operate by computer. And you want to be able to preserve your electronic equipment if an EMP of any kind hits, right? So what do you do? It doesn't mean your stuff's going to work with the grid down necessarily, but it's not going to fry your stuff. All right. And that goes for your car, your truck, your golf cart, your hover round. In my case, I'm kidding, of course, but
you're a little rascal.
Little rascal. Yeah. Little rascal. EMP Shield. Go to EMPShield.com. Use promo code Hagman. And, there's quantity discounts as well, but that's a good investment. EMPShield.com, promo code Hagman. That's a great investment. And you know what is even better than that? It's the brainchild and brain trust of Stan Dale. It really is. Who last week, actually, what now, 6 days ago, had a birthday. Again, I said, send him a happy birthday wishes. It was the day before his birthday. Now, 6 days ago. Now, if you haven't done so, send him happy belated birthday wishes. Make sure you let him know you're thinking about him. He's a national treasure. Stan Dale from StanDale.com. By the way, Holly Dale, too. Holly Dale wrote, there's a great editorial, by the way. Right now, if you go to StanDale.com, and I don't have the page up in front of me, but it has to do with the Jericho series, and it's so timely, so timely. Go to standeo.com and read the article there. Stan, how are you, sir?
I'm well, thank you. I was looking for that article that you were talking about that yes. you wrote. I don't, was that yesterday or today?
That was, actually I read it today. Let me look here.
Holly, where's that Jericho, link on our site? Editorial of the week. Okay. It's not down in main news. Yeah.
There it is. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's an impressive, piece of, journalism there, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yeah, she sent it yesterday and I was reading it today. And, it makes you think. And Dare to Prepare at the bottom of that article, folks. If after reading that article, you're not, wanting to purchase Dare to Prepare, I don't know. If you don't have it already, you need to get it because, oh boy. You look out and see a 15 kiloton, mushroom cloud, it'll ruin your day.
Yep. We've been watching that series together here and, you know, kind of binge watching it because we hadn't ever seen it in full. the similarities between what is happening now are really astounding. As she points out in the article, the editorial, that in the movie or the series, they don't mention the thing about people needing toilet paper, for instance, or sanitation issues. And there are a number of little things that she mentioned in there that the series didn't address. But with that exception, everything else shows human behavior at its worst, and that's what happens after an EMP or after a nuclear strike. So it's worth time reading that just to see commentaries on that show. Not that we're selling Jericho series, but it is on CBS. That's what we signed up for to watch that.
You know, I don't think I know I watched, I think, maybe part of one. It's a series, right? It's
yeah, yeah.
All right. I've got to watch that again. Well,
I think the first season has about 23 episodes, I think, and I don't know how many in the second episode or second series, but they didn't finish it at the end of the second series. It went instead to a comic book series of it to tell what happens after that, the end of the second series. But anyway, yeah, it's worth having a look, I think.
Yeah.
It'll tell people things that how things go wrong real quick, like medicine and food and water, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's worth it. Sorry, and what? And oh yeah, and power.
Power.
Oh yes, power. Yeah. Speaking of power, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Go on. No, speaking of power, go ahead. I'm.
You've been watching the news, I'm sure, today about Texas and the frozen windmills, or you know, the wind power generators. They're frozen. I mean, you can't get power. Nobody thought about that. It's not an all-weather device. And, well, and like here, we have solar panels upstairs, but they need to be wiped clean of snow so that the energy can get in. And if you've got really heavy overcast and snow like crazy, you're not kind of going to go up there on a ladder and get it. So you'll be running on battery storage you have from the day before. So still, there are some gaps in what we need for energy and energy production, diesel, gas, propane, all these things are good. And if this administration keeps cutting off all of our natural, petroleum products, we're in continuing real trouble.
It blows my mind, the thought process or lack thereof of what's taking place with respect to energy and this Biden regime. I'm just curious, okay, they want to have electric cars here in the next couple of years and outlaw gas and diesel. Where do they think that the energy is going to come from? I mean, I'm just curious. What's their thought process on that? You plug it in, it must come from the wall, right? I mean,
these people are la la land. They aren't addressing the real world. I mean, they're crazy. When you ask why, how can they do this? It's like they just don't care. They don't understand. They're the tree hugging thing gone awry, you know? I mean, they're just crazy.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And the number of jobs lost on day one of, you know, the first set of executive orders relating to the Keystone Pipeline and energy and such. It's bizarre. In addition to everything else, yeah.
And wait till that $15 minimum wage kicks in too.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Hey.
McDonald's
I'm
and all
to
those,
give you a raise.
McDonald's and all those people are going to be firing half of their crews.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever's left is going to have to work super, super hard.
That's right. And minimum wage, Eric's going to have to get a raise now.
But, where? I didn't think about that.
Yeah. You're going to have to give, you know, Holly and yours. Anyway.
Yeah, no, we're not giving ourselves a raise. We decided we're going to just do what we do.
Oh, man. I'll tell you what. It's a bizarre world out there. It really is. But yeah. It's good to see another week. It seems like although you're on every week, it seems like a month goes by during that week. Just a month of headlines, or even longer. You know, it's so much changes in the course of a week nowadays.
Yeah, it does. It really does. And on that note, let's look at slide 56 on the show images page, Eric. It says politicians want answers about National Guard's lengthy D.C. deployment. Now, I'll just read you part, but then I want to comment on it. More Republicans are demanding House Speaker Nancy Pelosi brief the lawmakers on why thousands of National Guard troops are being kept in Washington until the middle of March. Now, understand, National Guard guys have real world jobs. They just get called in for, you know, little emergencies or crises, and then they go back to work. These guys aren't going back to work until March, and they've been in there for months now. So why Pelosi and the left, why are they keeping them there in D.C.? They're not worrying about domestic terrorism. They're not worrying about international terrorism. Why are they keeping it there? And my opinion, just my opinion, is that they're afraid that the new Trump party is coming after them, and that there might be, you know, a bit of a skirmish here and there, and as they get taken off to jail for stealing the election, which has been proven many times over now. So my thought is that they are keeping the troops there to protect them like a shield against the regular military. And if I were to guess, I would say that the regular military in the main support President Trump still, because of what he did to boost up our defenses against enemies, foreign, and in this case, domestic. And I certainly think that we have a few domestic enemies that are trying to overthrow the government there.
I totally agree with you on both enemies, on foreign and domestic. But let me see if I understand this correctly, because my question is, because they're talking about even extending that into through the end of 2021. When I say they, I'm talking about certain members of our government. So tell me again why you think they're still there, the National Guard, because I'm really confused about this.
Well, National Guard is National Guard,
right?
Not from states,
right?
But federal troops are not there. Why aren't the federal troops there? Well, because they probably aren't loyal to the Biden administration. If you remember, when he drove down Pennsylvania Avenue, there were a number of the troops that just turned their backs to him and said, you know, you're not my president.
Right.
That's because he was illegally, put into office. They stole it. Sorry, what'd you say? Oh, sorry. In my opinion, yes, I have to qualify that.
These days, apparently we do. Yes.
but anyway.
But wouldn't I didn't think you could have federal troops on deployed domestically, even for protective services. Although we saw that back in the 60s, though. But
you mean like for
posse comitatus?
Comitatus. Yeah.
But however, I agree with your theory, though. I mean, I think because there's something else going on here. There's something else behind this. You know. You've got 8-10-foot walls, razor wire, the Capitol's surrounded. I would have to agree with your assessment on this.
So. And it's just an opinion and an assessment, isn't there? No proof to the contrary. But watching, you know, meetings with President Trump and some other people that were in the administration before, being cut short here in the last 2 days. No explanation given. I think that there's something afoot. I'm just reading what's published, not intuiting anything else.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, all right.
Man. Anyway, I kind of, you know, in my opinion, think we're going to see interesting things happening here shortly.
Yeah, I do. I do too. Right. The first hour I had, L.A. Marzulli come on and, he said a few things that reminded me of our conversations in prior weeks about, disclosure, imminent disclosure. It was only a brief conversation, like 5 minutes worth of that kind of discussion related to that. But, stuff that I think there's something else in addition to all of this. There's something else very big going on, and I think you've been talking about it pretty much every week. We're getting close to a disclosure type of an event.
Slide 49 does cover that. If you click on that, Eric, you'll go over to a discussion about the government admitting that they've been doing tests. Experiments on UFOs for years. And that's, you know, that's current. That's what they're saying today. So I'm telling you that the full disclosure is definitely in the near horizon. This kind of information tells you that they've been looking at the UFO materials and carried tests on it to see if it had any, you know, benefits to mankind to duplicate these materials. Well, we've known that for a long time, and they've even named the mystery flexible metal that had memory in it. They've now called it officially nitinol, N-I-T-I-N-O-L, which is in the article. And they've admitted this in a Freedom of Information request that they did finally answer. I think it started in 2017. It took them till now to answer it. So, you know, I think that we're just about there for disclosure, full disclosure, as full as disclosure could get at what's coming.
In the conversation that we had too, I was trying to, in my mind, see how this would fit into like this great reset, this global reset and global governance. And when you think it through, it would be the logical time, I suppose, to have this happen, you know.
Well, as we've, you know, I first wrote about this in 1978, but we're there now. We've talked about it frequently here this year. When you have a planet that's in strife on so many avenues, you know, so many crisis curves, the people of the planet are ripe for an alien, not invasion, but an alien assistance to solving the planet. For people to accept a government that is not from any other country and not even from their country, it has to be an off-world type thing. For people to do that, we have to admit that we have flying saucers and quote-unquote elder brothers in space here to help us. Before people want to hear that, they are going to have a threat of nuclear war, perhaps a tactical exchange of nukes over between Israel and Iran, and that is certainly on the cards because the current administration here is not backing Israel as much as they should. And then we have a pandemic, which is not just America. It's the whole planet and a pandemic. You know, and we have climate change. Sorry, what did Eric say?
No, he's sorry about that. He was actually talking to someone else in the office.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, these crises, famine, or right now this bad climate, you know, bad weather everywhere on the planet is hitting grain supplies, which are, you know, fundamental to all the other protein sources we have that consume it. So you've got climate change, you've got nuclear war threat, you've got governments that are in chaos, not only here, you know, but in Pakistan and, in Iran, they've got their own problems. And in Israel, they've got their problems with the government. So we've got failure of these systems. And so people are getting to the point where they're afraid. They really are afraid. I mean, they're locked indoors in many countries now. Then they can't go out because of the fear of this coronavirus or something like that, one of the 600 mutant varieties of it or something. So it is a time when people need to have what they think is the Messiah returning, you know, with his technology and his quote-unquote angels, which are really followers, to help, you know, the world get together under a new world order and a new world leader. So we're very close to the moment when the peoples of the planet are ready to overthrow their government, to kick them out because they are useless, and the people are frightened and in need. And, you know, they want peace and safety. That's just like the Bible said. We're there.
Folks, it's a cookbook. All right. I have my say. Reference to the Twilight Zone, obviously, but yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Not, I just have this suspicion that people are going to be surprised, not surprised, but, it amazes me how many people fall for, what they claim is science, you know, about masks and say, okay, you know, mask, you wear a mask and it'll prevent you from getting this virus. Of course it won't, but, and especially the cloth type. So what, to what extent will the delusion be, you know, with this alien or, yeah, this deception? I want to say alien deception, but maybe that's not the proper term.
Satanic deception.
Satanic. Great, there you go.
Great, great delusion put upon the world. And this is it. I mean, this is the one that Jesus forecast, Matthew. You know, it's a strong delusion, and it will fool many. Yeah, look, people are going to rush to alien messiahs, you know, deliverers, helpers. We've been programmed so many years on television and movies and stuff to expect that off-worlders coming here could have been our creators. Off-worlders would have technology and peace and know how to run a planet. And so people will reach out immediately to that, more so than to any other government on the planet that exists now. It's just a natural human behavior. Yeah, go on. Sorry.
No. I'm just groaning and muttering to myself. It's just I can see this not ending well for the human race. Those people who fall for this great delusion and deception. That's all.
Yeah. Well, all right, go to slide 55 at the top left there, and this is about Iran. Plotting massive offensive in the Middle East. Now, this is Iran, who is constantly not honored the nuclear production of your weapons and stuff like that under the Obama administration. They violated that from the day one. Now, down in the article, it says, according to credible intelligence sources, Iran has deployed Pakistani, Indian, and African nationals as deep covered agents inside diplomatic and business establishments of Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, Israel, and the U.S. to steal required information for possible terrorist attacks, mostly during March, July of this year. The secret terrorist attack plots are part of Tehran's tactics of exerting pressure on the Biden administration, forcing them to return into the nuclear deal, while the Iranian regime also is winning to destabilize law and order situation in the Middle East countries. Well, they don't need Biden to return to that deal. They've already broken it anyway. But the only reason might be for sanctions, so they need more stuff to put in their missiles and their bombs and stuff. So they're at the point in Iran where they are going to preemptively strike, certainly Israel, and possibly the United States with the help of China and Russia. They can't do it by themselves, but China and Russia would help them.
Just thinking about that, and how, I mean, as you read, according to credible intelligence sources, okay, Iran has deployed Pakistani, Indian, African nationals as deep covered agents, made, or inside diplomatic and business establishments in the United States, among other countries. I'm thinking, we've seen the communist Chinese infiltration into Harvard. And other institutions of higher learning all across the United States. We've seen the same in businesses. And now this, yeah. And China, of course, being on the, and Russia, so, Iran being a nation state of China and Russia, essentially. Okay. And going back to the Jericho scene, yeah, I can see where something bad could happen from all of this.
Oh, okay. Now, talking about Israel and Iran being at odds with each other, I think it was last week that I mentioned the fact that Israel had observation post, you know, it could be more than that, but what they claim is an observation post on Mount Hermon up on the border to Lebanon and to Syria. Now, if you go to slide, 57, and click on the picture first. Now, this is a an image I made with Google Earth to show Mount Hermon, where the Israeli observation post, quote-unquote, is, and how far it is by that yellow line over to Damascus. And that's a distance of just about 25 miles from Mount Hermon. In military terms, that's a gnat's eyelash. They could lob something over in Damascus, you know, in a quick breath. I mean, before any of the defense missiles there at Damascus, the Russians or Iranians have, would not be able to put off a nuke right onto Damascus. And overnight, Damascus could become a ruinous heap. Now, going back to slide 57 to the text, if you click on that, you can see that Israel is now still attacking Damascus, or near Damascus, because the Iranians have been known to be assembling weapons and missiles and stuff there in Damascus and outside the city itself, in, you know, production zones, industrial zones. And they've already taken out a couple of these before, but this is now starting again, which tells you that they are pretty certain that the Iranians are going to use Damascus to attack Israel with a nuke. Anyway, just have a look at that and see.
You know, it reminds me the first Biden wasn't even he didn't even change his underwear before the regime began putting assets back into Syria. You know, it's wow. Okay.
I know. Hey, is it cold where you are?
No, it's 76 out and sunny. And I got a suntan today. No, actually, it is freezing, and our wind turbines froze, so I'm not sure the show's going to go out. but no, you know what? It's been cold ever since I think September.
This is normal for us.
Yeah, we got. I think what 3 feet of snow on the ground. I mean, it's like the tundra in the Arctic.
Is it really? You've got really deep snow there, do you?
Well, it's. We've had like, we had like a foot and then 6 inches and then another six and then 10. And so collectively, if I look out at my gas grill, I got 3 feet of snow.
But we've got the trucks and the salt.
Yeah.
We know how to take care of it where Texas does not.
That's right.
Yeah, that's true. Look, being a Texan, you know, whenever it snowed, it was like once every few years or a light snow or maybe ice storm. They'd cancel school and everybody go out and play because it's so unusual. As you can see where we are here at the back window here, our snow is nowhere near inches deep. It might be, you know, 1 or 2 inches, I guess. But the sun's coming out now, and I think we're seeing temperatures over 45, maybe close to 50 degrees now.
So, is that okay? So that's really, I'm looking out your back or your window. I'm looking out your window.
Oh, that's our backyard. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. What's that? I'm coming to live with you. I love that. No, that's beautiful out there. I mean, it's beautiful country.
Yeah, that's the Rocky Mountains behind me there.
We got hills in Pennsylvania, just not like that.
You got hills. We've got mountains.
Yeah.
Yeah. Holly, while we were down in Australia on our farm, you know, we had hills around us and up the coast a bit from us there in New South Wales. We had a ski resort or two or three, they were high enough hills to collect snow and you could ski down them. But she repeatedly reminded me, those are not mountains. Those are hills. Mm-hmm. And now I understand. Yeah.
Wow.
Anyway,
that actually could be used, and I'm serious, that's a beautiful scene, and that could be used like a green screen for anywhere. That's beautiful. That really is. Wow. Yeah. Nice.
All right. Well, now, which things to get to next? Okay. Okay, on the weather, that's nice. Slide 46. Eric. And this is an article where the Air Force admits they can control weather using HARP-type technology. So what we've always suspected and been accused of being conspiracy theorists, they're now admitting to, oh, yeah, the HARP antenna system can affect the ionosphere and the weather, et cetera, et cetera. It's an interesting read if you want to see the alleged truth now being released, you know, by, oh, 20, 30 years too late or something like that.
Gee whiz. And, who'd have thought?
Yeah. And while we're on that subject, who'd have thought that exhaust or, you know, chemtrails, contrails could be used to disseminate something else in the air other than just water vapor?
Yeah.
Believe me, water vapor doesn't hang around like that. It's something in the fuel or, you know, in pipes ejecting it into the exhaust, something. That'll be the next thing. They'll finally admit, yeah, look, we've been putting stuff in the contrails of aircraft to help diffuse the sunlight coming into the planet, you know. And, you know, Bill Gates would love that, I'm sure, but all that kind of stuff. Then they're going to get to telling the truth. Oh, yeah, well, this is what we've been doing, but we want to avoid, you know, any public reaction to this kind of stuff and lawsuits and things.
Well, you know what they say. It's better to ask for forgiveness than for permission, or it's easier anyway. So,
so true. So very true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sorry we ruined your planet. But all right.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see. I tell you, in Dallas, the snowstorm down there is just really crippling them. As you said, the windmills are freezing up, and it makes you think, well, okay, what do we have for alternate fuels other than, you know, petroleum product, diesel, gasoline, propane gas, and natural gas? And, oh, probably 3 years ago now, 3.5 years ago, my partner Tim and I were working on an antenna system to gather electricity out of the sun's solar wind hitting our atmosphere. In fact, I can look out the window over there and see that, you know, we've got, it's kind of to the, that side of your screen. Yeah, that one. Over there, I've got the antenna still out there and the test gear and stuff in the workshop to resume testing for this new kind of energy, which is working as long as we have an atmosphere and we have a sun working. When we started that, we got sidetracked on this EMP shield stuff because we were making a surge protector for our antenna system because it would attract high voltage occasionally, like lightning. And so we were designing a surge protector more than an EMP shield to protect our new kind of energy accessing device. The patent office refused my first application for the device, and then about 2 or 3 years ago, they approved another company over in Georgia using mine as prior art. They approved the patent on that one, and the differences in our circuits are minuscule and not enough to explain why they wouldn't grant me the patent to start with. But anyway, the idea is a solid idea, and there, you know, is my patent application and theirs that's an actual patent now that says we can get energy from the sun this way. So if ever we needed something, we need it now in the climate change because, you know, with our petroleum being dried up by, you know, legislation or executive order, I guess is better word for it.
Yeah.
And by weather changes that are crippling our old faithful type supplies of, wind power, solar power. I mean, even solar power is impacted a bit. But this other thing would work day and night without wind and without sun. So I guess we're going to have to get off the stick and try to pick up where we left off when we got sidetracked on the EMP shield business. But
sidetracked. I love that. You got sidetracked on developing the EMP shield. That's you getting sidetracked. See, folks, I mean, you're talking about a genius. And I'm not blowing smoke up your skirt. I like to get sidetracked like that. You know, I mean, what an incredible invention. So you were actually designing a surge protector for something
for our alternate energy system, the antenna system out the back. And Tim, you know, he says, hey, you know what? This would, with a little modification, we could make this, you know, shield against EMP strike as well as just lightning strike. And I, you know, at the time I thought, an EMP? Oh, yeah, happens with the sun. No, wait a minute. There are weapons out there to do that. Good idea, Tim. And so he perfected it. And
wow.
Then we had a company and a couple of factories and 50 employees and all kinds of nonsense.
Yeah, that's wow. Eric the Tech. Eric the Tech. I mean, you're the like buttons guy and stuff, electronics guy. Imagine getting sidetracked like that. I mean,
when I get sidetracked, I end up on the moon. So,
yeah, I'll tell you what. Hats off to you, man. That's great stuff. That's really good.
Hey, thank you for that. Hey, Eric, you know, talk about being on the moon. Slides 37 through 39 address something I didn't know that was happening. About once a month, the Earth has a discharge of like a magnetic wind or, you know, carrying particles from the Earth's magnetic field to hit the moon. And so the moon gets hit instead of like we get hit with solar wind all the time, so does the moon. But at this one day out of the month, the moon gets hit with an Earth wind. It happens around the time of the full moon is what they say here. The Earth's magnetic tail points like a shotgun toward the lunar disk. For 3 to 5 days then, the lunar terrain is bombarded by hydrogen ions, helium, oxygen, nitrogen, and other particles. It's an interesting read. I'm not going to bore you with it now, but it produces, when it hits the surface of the moon, it can produce like hydroxyl atoms, which are like a form of water. So it actually produces water on the moon by our magnetic tail hitting it with all these particles coming out of our atmosphere. I thought it was really cool. Just a source of water on the moon that's replenished every month for about 5 days.
You can't blame that on the dog.
No.
Okay. Wow. Look at that.
Yeah. Let's see here. Where'd it go next? Oh, talking about weird stuff. Weird stuff. 47 and 48 over in Siberia. These are sinkholes which come from methane gas discharges coming up from underneath the permafrost that's thawing. And if you click on the picture in slide 48, you see the size of these holes relative to people standing on the edge of it. And these things are big. And I don't know whether it just goes bloop and throws, you know, the overburden of soil up on the side, or whether it goes bloop and then explodes or sets fire to a big, methane gas charge. I don't know. But and if you look at the slide on slide 47 on the picture itself, it's some more of these things. And look how deep these things look, almost, you know, endless, but they're not. They go down really deep under the permafrost. And this is happening. The number of these is increasing that are happening over in the Siberian plains. And they don't know why. But to me, it's some kind of warming, I think, that is melting some of the tundra that's frozen. It's getting warmer, and it doesn't have the same containment strength that it used to this methane gas being produced down underneath it by decaying organic material that was laid down there probably at the time of the Great Flood of Noah. And it's now just reaching the pressure where it can break free and pop up into the atmosphere. So this isn't cow gas you're doing this. This is affecting our atmosphere, but it's not from human endeavor at all. It's just the nature of things. So I was impressed. I mean, this is something to keep an eye on. Now, you and I have talked about this before. Methane hydrates in the bottom of the sea, oceans and stuff. They get warm. They release methane up into the atmosphere. This has got to change the characteristic of our atmosphere, the heat retention and things like that. But it could also see burning fires on the surface of the ocean here and there that would go, you know, flash, burn, and then be disappeared. But as it releases this methane from the hydrate crystals down at the bottom of the oceans, things are changing, and not for the best.
Wow. And wasn't this one plausible explanation for ships missing in the Bermuda Triangle and
things? Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. If you have a release of these gas bubbles, you know, the methane gas down underneath, you know, the area of the Bermuda Triangle, they will come up as a series of little bubbles more than they will come up as a big ball of, you know, methane gas. Instead, there, it's methane hydrates melting and releasing the methane gas all over that area of the floor at once. And it's a stream of bubbles. When they go up, they They make the buoyancy of the water so little that anything floating there is going to sink. You know, it doesn't have the buoyancy to support ships. Now, as far as aircraft, that's another thing. They're in the air, and they're not subject to the buoyancy there of that methane gas, I wouldn't think. I've never flown through methane gas in the atmosphere, but that might prove problematic. But anyway, yeah,
okay.
Bermuda Triangle. Bermuda Triangle. I've got something on that today here. Yes, slide 51. They call this space the Bermuda Triangle of space, and it's crashed astronauts' computers on the space station and stuff. It's that area, the South Atlantic anomaly, the magnetic anomaly, which is governed by the strength of the Earth's magnetic field, which, as we have been talking about for years now, is weakening. The magnetic field of the Earth is decaying quickly to its zero point, so it can come back the other way. It's going to flip. And so here, these guys fly through that ever so often in their orbit. And, of course, it is now generating, you know, like an EMP effect, in essence, onto their computers on the low Earth orbit, you know, space station. I certainly wouldn't want to be flying through there on a regular basis. And I do know there are some compartments and stuff in the space station where you can be fairly well shielded by waste bags and things like that you can put into the wall in certain compartments. But it's still not the best. And I've often wondered how we fly our guys to the moon, say, for instance, and avoid the cosmic radiation or the radiation in the ionosphere. You know, how do we get them through there safely? Because it's very intense radiation there. I'm still not satisfied with the answers I've been given. But anyway, that's our Bermuda Triangle in space. Things that fly through there get their electronics zapped. But at least we know what's doing that one. Oh, yeah. Okay, another thing, too. Israel, you know, is really great in technology on all kinds of things, you know, medical and, building and water reclamation from the sea. But this is one thing I saw on slide, what is it here, slide 52. If you look at the text there, it says Israel carries out first ever worldwide drone test without using GPS, and it succeeds. Now, why is this important? We use geo-position satellites, you know. We depend on those to tell our troops where they are, to tell where we are in the car so that, you know, your map, your digital maps in your car can guide you to a destination, et cetera, et cetera. In wartime, should we lose the satellites, which is very possible because, you know, both China and Russia have figured out ways to put up, you know, equivalents of sandbags up there to destroy a lot of our military, what they call constellations, you know, the 12 satellites that are, you know, DOD use and various other things. So if we lose GPS, how do we navigate with our drones, with our cars, with our military? So what Israel is doing is it's making a smart drone that doesn't use GPS. It looks at the terrain around itself, compares it to a digital map that's inside of it, and says, where am I? By looking physically at landmarks. And this is really critical to being able to use this stuff after either solar EMP zaps our constellation of satellites out there or warfare causes them to go down. I talk about thinking ahead. This is a chess move supreme here to develop this kind of technology. You keep an eye on that because that's going to be really, really favored by our military and telephone companies and things like that because this is something that we need. Okay. Wow. I, as I say, the Israelis are just forward thinkers. They're master chess players. They may not be, you know, beat everybody, but they are so good at what they do when they do it. I am impressed.
Yeah. I'm thinking, I have the concept of that, but wow.
Yeah. You remember I've talked, slide 40 is where I'm going now. There's in the text, it tells about that they found out that India and Australia were evolutionary neighbors. A link found in Mbetka, India, shows blah, blah, blah. You don't need to get invested in the article, but you can if you want. It's showing that the fossil records show that India and Australia were very close together, you know, hundreds of millions of years ago in their timing.
Where'd we hear that before?
I wonder where.
Huh.
Well, that's my point. You know, if you click on the picture, you can see my map there. I've talked about this, you know, in finding Atlantis and finding what caused the split up of Pangaea. That little red dot in the top picture there is where they're talking about they found these fossils. But the yellow arrows go down to the west coast of Australia, which used to fit right up against the east coast of India, as you can see in the bottom picture, bottom part of the picture there, which I used in my lecture to show that Australia had been spun away from that area, as India had also been shoved up into what is China today. So if you scoot down a bit, Eric, onto that bottom picture, there you go, you can see that Australia was closer to India. In fact, it could have very well touched it before that asteroid hit off the black model of Australia there. It would have hit where that top hump is, but in the middle of the Indian Ocean. And we know that hit there. There was a huge asteroid or a comet, whatever it was, and it just dug a big crater to form a deep cavern there in the middle of the Indian Ocean. And it shoved Australia over to where it is now in that picture to the green, shoved New Guinea over where it is following those yellow curved arrows, and it shoved India up into China because all that used to be together. Madagascar over there off the coast of Africa used to be in that little niche hollow to the upper left of it. And all this was together, and India touched Madagascar. As I've been saying, you know, they're now getting archaeological proof of the fact that Australia and India shared a common place close together for the development of these species. So again, Stanley's right.
All I had to do was just watch your documentary and call you. Call you.
I'm blowing my own horn because I'm telling you that people ignored this, but I'm right.
Beep beep. Yes, that's when I saw that in prep for the show. I thought, yeah, you were 100% right.
Yeah. Yeah, you did say that. I appreciate that. But, yeah.
Man. Yeah. Yeah. It's mind blowing the amount of information that we have available to us like this. I mean, and how this is all coming together, especially now. My mind is blown. So.
Well, you know, I found the Garden of Eden, and I'm positive of that. That was in Tanzania, Northeast Africa. But there was, among other things that supported the fact that India and North Africa touched each other, was that the prime minister there in India a few years back said, look, we have checked genetics, and our portions of India have genetic commonality with Ethiopians. Now, they would have had to have been touched so that there could have been migration from India or Ethiopia the way across to India or across to Ethiopia. So the genetic record there, it does prove that they were closer together. And you know, the separation of those by that asteroid is in the ocean record, in the ocean floor. If you look at it, you can see the scarring of where this occurred. Anyway, I want to get on to that's another subject. But anyway, I'll get on to slide 43 today. It's something happening in Israel that, in addition to the jackals we were talking about last week being in Tel Aviv and in the north of Israel being a prophetic sign, now the starling birds are dropping dead in northern Israel onto the streets there and into the fields. You can see in that article, again, it is another thing that is kind of indicative of the biblical prophecies for what the animals are going to be doing in Israel. If you scroll down the article a bit there, you'll see that. And if you go to the picture and click on the picture of it, you'll see a close-up what one of the little birds looks like. They're quite pretty. And then you'll see how they fly in these shape-shifting flocks, which are just magic to watch. I don't know if I put a link to their in the bottom of slide 43 text. I think, does that link take us there or not? No, take us to that. I did find some beautiful videos of these birds swarming, but But the fact that they're just dropping out of the sky in Israel, particularly northern Israel, is, prophetic. And as I say, it's another sign from Hosea. Anyway, have a look at that. And now I want to look at something else over here quickly. Slide 44, the seven wonders of Saudi Arabia. Now, right now I'm in communication with a doctor, an American doctor in Riyadh in Saudi Arabia, and she is sending me all kinds of new information on the stuff they're discovering over in Saudi Arabia. They're really starting to do archaeological research now then over the history of it. And these formations here that you see, these stone columns that are splayed out like that, basically at one point in time, they were all parallel to each other, like four of them in a line. But they, as time passed and the sands shifted, they splayed apart like this. But if you read the article, you'll see that this is quite common in that particular area of Saudi Arabia. And it is an oddity, one of the things they have discovered over there. In the next weeks coming here, I will be giving you more information on the anomalies in the Saudi desert and in surrounding countries that touch it, which do point to, surprise, surprise, an advanced civilization that was of giants even in that land. It was part of what the Greeks called Atlantis. And the information I'm getting from this lady and the photos are just really good. So I'll be preparing some of that for one of our future shows.
Wow. And to think I'm still musing over your pickle jar on the last Patreon. and now you show me this. Okay. No, that's interesting. Would this, okay, I don't want to drag this out, but would this not suggest perhaps a little bit, maybe? Remember how you said the earth is expanding?
Yes.
Would that be, maybe one of the causative factors for that or not?
For these stones?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if it's important.
I mean, it could be. It would spread the ground a bit underneath them, marginally so, but something caused the sand, the dirt and the rocks underneath that to move and to lose support for those columns. I think in the article they say it went back to like 4th millennium B.C., like 4,000 B.C. So that's quite a while back for it to still stay standing.
Yeah.
And they may have been put there by, Atlanteans. So much of this stuff was destroyed when the flood surge came over Saudi Arabia that it's hard to get to it unless we start digging in various places and, being judicious in where we dig so we can find stuff like this to prove that. Uh-huh. On the February the 18th, that would be, what is that? That's going to be Thursday. We have a new lander, Martian lander landing. It's called the Perseverance, and it's going to have instruments on board to do all kinds of exploration that they haven't done before. It's a heavy lander. So its re-entry entry into the Martian atmosphere is going to be somewhat problematic. So it'll be fairly turbulent. Hopefully it will land intact and start gathering information on the other things we need to know about Mars sometime in the future. Now, President Trump authorized NASA to start building a lunar gateway. And you can see in slides 53 and 54 that basically the Lunar Gateway is a small international space station, but a NASA one, that's going to be orbiting the moon, not the Earth. And it will be a habitat for satellites, for the astronauts on the surface of the moon to come up to with a little jumper back and forth. They can live on this, get recuperated, go back down and do their work on the lunar surface. So it's a home away from home on the lunar surface when you have homes being built down there. Anyway, that's still ongoing in spite of the change of administration.
It's still be a heck of a commute, though, right? We don't have to worry about traffic, but anyway.
I know. You got to leave the surface of the moon, go up to the gateway and dock. But with electronics and stuff, hopefully they're all working and not zapped by EMPs from the sun. Mm. You can get up there, you can navigate and lock in, and they've got you know, gymnasium in there. They got food and sleeping quarters, all kinds of stuff. You can get to these articles and see what it's talking about. It's quite the home away from home for an astronaut anyway. It still doesn't solve the problem being able to sleep in zero gravity. That's an issue. But yeah, it's cramped quarters and everybody's strapped into the wall of the gateway here, or the space station as well. And, you know, the astronauts find it difficult to get a good night's sleep because of no gravity.
We've got about 4 minutes left, Stan, so wherever you want to go from here.
Okay, let me just see. Okay. Did I put this down here? I'm just looking here for just a second here.
You're talking about an information download, folks. I mean, this hour has been absolutely incredible in my view, with Stan talking about everything he has. Talk about a lot of stuff covered. I don't mean to take your time, so go ahead and...
Well, I think that there was something I wanted to say on the Garden of Eden. Gosh, slipped my mind. Anyway, the next thing to be proved, other than Atlantis, is going to be that I was right about the Garden of Eden. And, of course, the news agencies of the world aren't exactly helping to promote that idea. But more and more, I'm getting vindicated on having chosen and visited and documented that the Garden of Eden was in the Ngorongoro Plateau in Tanzania. They're surrounded, you know, Tanzania, by Arab Muslim countries who are trying to overthrow the government, which is a Christian government at the moment in Tanzania. And once they take over, then it's probably going to be hard to convince anybody that it's a Jewish Christian location, the Garden of Eden, unless the Muslims know that it was the Garden of Eden, and maybe they'll promote it. But you know, doggone it, it's like the free energy things, you know, that I was working on with Tim. You know, someday they're going to recognize that what we were telling was correct. Probably too late to help anybody, but yeah. So
you still have the handmade custom jewelry from the Garden of Eden collection, right? You still have that? That's still active?
Well, yes. Let me just go down here and see here. Garden of Eden.
Right,
yes.
To the left.
Okay. Slide 31.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is that what you're saying? Slide 31.
Yes.
Yes, yes. That's Jared and Christina Gretsch. They have a custom jewelry place over in Philadelphia, and there's a picture of Christina, and she and her husband financed our expedition over to find the Garden of Eden. And you can see those kind of Garden of Eden collectibles that she made, that we designed from the trip. One of the things you won't see is the gold coin that she minted, that we passed out to our guide and a couple of other people over there once we found the water hole for the Garden of Eden at the top of the Ngorongoro Plateau. Now, those are some interesting pieces of jewelry. There's one that's the Ngorongoro Plateau. It's just earrings, but it's made in the 3D image of the Ngorongoro Plateau itself. Yeah, you're right. They are there. And Tanzanite, it's a bluestone Tanzanite from Tanzania, obviously. And it's getting to be quite expensive. The darker the blue, the more expensive, the more valuable the Tanzanite is. Quite a good thing to do.
So guys, for those hard to buy for ladies out there, or, you know, there you go. Wow.
Or if you forgot Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. For our wedding anniversary, I gave Holly a ring that had, our wedding stone for the 23rd anniversary was a imperial topaz, but I had it surrounded by two Tanzanite stones as well.
Nice. You're the man.
Trying to keep everything going like it should. Yes, yes. Peaceful.
Wow. What's that?
All right, Eric, guys. I can't remember what it was I was trying to say about that thing over in the...
Well, we got about 50 seconds, so...
Oh, well, I'm not going to find it in that short a time. I don't know what it was. But anyway... these things will be covered on the Middle East there and the discoveries in Saudi Arabia fairly shortly. Okay. I just before we went on air, I got this, it's not really a text, but I guess it is a text from the lady over in Saudi Arabia. I'm looking at some of the inscriptions on the stones they've found and things that, you know, which I will share. But it's just amazing what they're uncovering over there.
I can't wait. And folks, make sure you support Stan and Holly Deo at Patreon. go to standeo.com, sign up for their Patreon channel as well, and join in their meetings. It's fabulous. Put your thinking caps on and learn a lot, too. That's really a good time. Stan, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Lord bless you. Right. Hope you get warmer.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm going to come visit you. All right, folks. That'll do it for us tonight. May God bless each and every one of you. Thank you so much for keeping us on the air. God bless every one of you. Thank you. Good night.